interview. Today is August the 14th, and this in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Dan, I guess the way I would like to start this out is to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about how you got into this, what your early life was like, family, friends, and particularly anything which might have predisposed you to a career in science. Where are you from? What was your family background like?
I'm from Pennsylvania, and I lived in various parts in Pennsylvania. Probably the formative years for chemistry was in Middletown, Pennsylvania, which is the place where the nuclear plant sort of erupted a little bit here,
3 Mile Island.
And as a matter of fact, as a child, I used to play on 3 Mile Island when it was a farm. And all of the children in the neighborhood had boats of some sort, or rafts, or anything that would float, and we used to camp and play on 3 Mile Island. But the thing that got me interested in science was a high school teacher. He was a very enthusiastic chemistry teacher, and he turned a lot of students on to chemistry. I really planned to make a career out of chemistry while I was in high school. And I went from high school. I took a year off to work in order to get a little money together to go to college, and started at Penn State.
Excuse me, before you get onto that, were either of your parents in science or have any background in your family?
Neither of my parents had gone to college.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters. One of them is a school teacher, the other one is a was a nurse and gave that up when she became a housewife.
But are they younger than you, or are you the oldest?
Actually, my sister that's older and a sister that's younger. And the sister that's younger is quite a bit younger, about 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you really like, you're not really a legitimate middle child.
Well, I was the last child for 10 or 15 years.
Yeah. Right, you're right.
When I finally started at Penn State after working for a year in the steel mill. I was only in about less than a year, two full semesters, and the war was going on in the Pacific and in Europe, and I felt the desire to get out of school and go serve the country, so I signed up for meteorology school. And got ambushed into the field artillery, and finally got transferred into the Air Force again, and ended up being a navigator, and spent about a year and a half or so ultimately in Saipan. And made many trips there to Japan and back.
Were you there at the time of the nuclear business?
I was on Saipan, and they were on Tinian. We used to watch them take off and go to Japan if we weren't flying. This particular mission at Hiroshima actually came at about the time that we thought the war would probably end fairly soon anyhow. It was really a smashing compound smashing into the whole thing. Bomb dropped. So I came back from Saipan and wanted to go back to school and looked at Penn State, and they had a very overcrowded situation. As a matter of fact, they had one teacher lecturing to three rooms, with a personal appearance in one room and a speaker in the other two. Having come from the Army, where I had a lot of people speaking to me over loudspeakers, I had no desire to go back to Penn State. So I signed up at a little school nearby, Lebanon Valley College, in Annville, Pennsylvania, and decided I would start school there and transfer eventually.
Your high school teacher mentioned that you were a chemist from the start. Was he notably a chemist? Was he notable in any way as far as sending armies of kids on into chemistry, as he influenced you?
Not really.
Was he a great teacher?
He was a good teacher. And he let the students do pretty much what they wanted in the laboratory, and encouraged some individual work on our own part, and didn't stick with the manuals and things of this sort. So he literally provided an atmosphere where one could use your imagination rather than follow directions.
Were you one of these Gilbert chemistry set kids when you were younger than that?
No, I really wasn't. Always did a fair amount of what I'd call mechanical inventing, little gadgetry and things of this sort, but I didn't play with chemistry sets at home.
Was Penn State really radically different than Lebanon Valley at that point? Because all of those schools must have just been swamped with the veterans right after the war. Even the little schools must have been crowded.
They were crowded, but not nearly to the extent that Penn State was. One other one, I tried to go to MIT. And I went there and took tests and filled out forms and received a little encouragement, and then I got a form letter that, due to the unprecedented return of former students, we'll be unable to take you, and you might try again next year. So I had that also behind me. And Lebanon Valley, a little church school, 25 miles from home, so it seemed like a good place to start. And I might add that they did have a book shortage there, and I had to share a German book with a young lady who was a biology student, and she later became my wife. So that was a little vignette that came from the Lebanon Valley College.
What kind of a chemistry department did they have at Lebanon Valley in those days?
In those days, they really had a two-man department. With the gentleman who was running it was an outstanding teacher. He had worked in industry and came back to school, and his name was Andrew Bender. And Dr. Bender supplemented the school chemistry budget by buying from his personal funds analytical equipment, instrumentation, things of this sort. And he literally lived and breathed chemistry, and he was the real inspiration for my going further in school.
Was he retired from industry, or he had just...
I think he probably had at least 20 years or more of industry, and mm-hmm. then left to teach. He yeah. wanted to teach.
Was he an organicer?
He was an organic chemist.
Mm-hmm. Who did he work for, you know?
I really don't know. But he sent a lot of students to a lot of schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some that you might put down for the records here is there was a Tom Fox, who was a well-known polymer physical chemist. I think he ended up at Mellon Institute,
mm-hmm.
but he had worked for Roman Haas for a while, and he's quoted in many of the classical organic physical, physical polymer chemistry.
No relation to you? Or?
No relation.
Yeah.
Lived about 15 miles in the other direction.
Uh-huh.
I had many interesting meetings with him at Gordon conferences and things of this sort. Then one that there's a her name is Weisberger now, but she is was a Garvin Award winner, and she is I think at the Rockefeller Institute in medicinal chemistry. Cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Dave Sheets, who is VP, Director of Research at Dow Chemical, with one of Bender's students.
Where did he send all of these people to graduate school?
Most of his students, or a lot of them, went to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He had some very good ties with Cincinnati and sent a lot of students there.
So at this point, you've got yourself a bachelor's degree.
I got a bachelor's degree.
And had you thought at that point to go to work, rather, or had you thought all the time to continue to go to school?
I had thought to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied and went to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
University of Illinois.
You didn't think to go back to work for Frank Whitmore at Pennsylvania?
No, but I would say Frank Whitmore was an interesting character who I had a couple of meetings with him. And in one of the meetings, when I left the school, he called me in and literally raised Cain because he had previously informed us that any student of his, or any chemistry or chemical engineering student, that was threatened by draft to come see him and he would take care of things. And he said, nobody takes my students away from me. I didn't feel the urge to stay out, so I didn't go to see him. And he was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Told me so.
Yeah.
The other thing that was amusing about him, my letter of resignation when I quit, I sent it to him and I had, I think about two spelling errors or a misplaced comma or something, and he wrote a letter and called it to my attention. So I had some vivid memories of Frank Whitmore.
This is when you were enlisting in the
Army away from Penn State as a freshman.
Yeah.
Having completed my freshman year, I left that.
That was what, 1943?
That was 1943.
Was it commonplace to be able to keep science students out of the military at that point?
I don't think it was commonplace to keep science students away from the military at that time, but I think that Whitmore had sufficient interaction or action with enough people in the government and or military that he literally could write his own policy. And he left this be known to his students.
Yeah.
Actually, the only teaching contact I had with him was that he required that all chemistry and chemical engineering students attend a sort of a lecture series which he gave personally, and every freshman had to go to his Friday lecture. And he had a large lecture hall with probably 300 to 400 people, and they kept very strict attendance, and you attended Whitmore's lecture or you were in trouble.
Yeah. Of course, Whitmore was one of the power brokers in chemistry in those days.
That's right.
And actually, he had some pretty close ties with General Electric through the CR&D Center in Schenectady. Well, you went to Illinois.
So I went to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity of having several impressive instructors and teachers.
Speed Marvel?
Speed Marvel was for organic chemistry 334 or whatever it was. This was a typical organic chemistry course, but it was there I discovered that all molecules did and could have difunctionality. So instead of talking about simple esters, we talked about polyesters. And simple amides, we talked about polyamides. And he managed to make everything into a polymer.
Yeah.
And it was very impressive. And I think that was one of the more impressive, formative things that happened to me, was the opportunity to have chemistry under Dr. Marvel.
Was that the first time you'd heard about polymers and that idea?
Almost. As a matter of fact, I was at Penn State when I started. I was signed up freshman year as a chemical engineer. But I had switched to chemistry at Lebanon Valley, and then got interested in polymers very much at Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had Puzon teaching, of course, and he was quite impressive.
Roger Adams?
I didn't have Roger Adams. He was, I think, retired at that point.
Probably close to it, anyway. Yeah. At least out of the mainstream.
Well, there were several other teachers. Rodebush was there, and Gutowski was just getting started. A man by the name of Martin in organic chemistry was going. A few others, but the most impressive one, no question, was Speed.
Yeah. When you got under Marvel's wing here, at that point, was it clear to you that here was really an interesting area of organic chemistry, and I was going to really look further into this?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after a year, I had an awful lot of problems. Some coursework, not too much. I had gotten married when I left Lebanon Valley, and I found that I couldn't find housing in Urbana, and I went alone, left the wife at home, and brought her out a couple of months. I lived in a field house there and for a while, and finally got her out, and we rented a trailer, and it burned down, and in the middle of the winter, in the middle of exams, and a few other things, and we had just no end of calamities. To get into student housing, you needed to be, or had to be, a resident of Illinois, and had to be married, and have 2.5 children was the standard requisites to get into student housing.
Even for graduate students?
It was just not possible.
Because of the war, the post-war.
That's right, the bulge.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started looking around and wrote to a number of other schools, and received a very interesting response from the University of Oklahoma at Norman. And at the end of the school year, we packed up and went to Norman.
Marvel and Illinois was willing to let you go?
Well, I don't think he really cared about me.
No? Okay.
I was just one of a large group of students. He did have the thing that amused me in his class, and that was his opening announcement was to look at the man on your right, look at the man on the left.
Yeah,
one of them won't be there at the end of the course, and he managed to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I went to Oklahoma. And,
do you remember any outstanding or people who became outstanding chemists from your Illinois days? Or was it just too early?
I would say
one year?
Too early.
Yeah.
I maintained some acquaintanceship for a number of years, but none of the people actually became outstanding.
Have you kept up with Marvel over the years?
Only when I see him at meetings.
Yeah.
And I do see him at Shoplifting from time to time at meetings. He's a grand old man.
Does he ever express regret that you took off and went to Oklahoma?
I don't think so.
Does he even know you're at Illinois?
I don't even know that.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have thanked him on a couple, at least a couple of occasions for his input to my career.
Was Marvel what you would call a great teacher, a great influencer of young people in chemistry?
I think very much so.
Uh-huh.
He put forth a lot of philosophy that I remembered and applied. One of the stories that I liked was he told the story of a couple of graduate students having lunch in their little office, and that one of them ate an apple and threw the apple core out the window, and the apple core started down and then turned around and back up, and the man reached over and got his notebook, threw apple core out the window, apple core went up, and then he got back and continued reading his magazine or his newspaper. And the other man threw banana peeling or something out the window, and it started down, it went up, and he almost fell out the window trying to see what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And he said, both of those guys will probably get PhDs. He said, but the one will be a technician all his life.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Person who has all the details, doesn't examine the facts. He's doesn't consider the facts. He is a technician, PhD or no.
Yeah.
That was one of the little anecdotes he told me. He had quite a few of these things.
Was Bill Bailey at Illinois when you were there?
No. I don't think so.
He was probably preceded you by a few years. I think he's probably a couple of years older than you were.
The other prof, there was an Audrey up there. But I don't remember.
Yeah.
I did take a chem engineering course.
Yeah.
The man who, records. he later, I think, flipped his lid. But he was.
So you went to Oklahoma.
Had you done any industrial work at all, either in the summers or consulting or anything all this time?
The only industrial work I ever did was I spent a year in the Ford shop at Bethlehem Steel.
How did you go to steel mill? Did you?
That was near Steelton, Pennsylvania, near home. And, I applied for it and got a job and worked there for a year. Banked all my pay and started Penn State. After the war, then I had the GI Bill to work on.
Yeah.
So you didn't need.
So you hopped into your Model A Ford and
no,
took your wife out to Oklahoma?
No, as a matter of fact, it was a 1939 LaSalle, which was a real classy, needle-pointed car. The reason I had that, I had operated the gas station while I was going to undergraduate school. And that was one of the spoils of the gas station there. A black convertible 39 LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep up your mechanical interest and work on the car yourself and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
So that was one of your continuing interests? Was
well, I kept.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're a hands-on type.
I like hands-on, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in Oklahoma, they were trying to grow, and offered a scholarship, which helped, and they eventually arranged a job for my wife, who was, I said nurse, she was actually a med technician. She ended up working at the infirmary as a med tech, and, between GI Bill and fellowship, whatever they called it, and my wife working, I was financially better off at that point than I probably will ever get to in the future.
Yeah, we all have that experience.
It was very nice. We had very few expenses and pretty reasonable income.
Mm-hmm.
In graduate school there was no polymers. So I became back to an organic chemist with a chem engineering minor. And
you didn't really think much about polymer chemistry one way or another to that point. It just was accidental or incidental that Marvel was interested.
In between.
Yeah. Marvel has always said that he never thought of himself as other than an organic chemist, and that these polymers were just interesting organic molecules.
That's right. They just had two functionalities instead of single functionality. Everything else the same. He kept saying that.
Mm-hmm. You adhere to that philosophy to this
Absolutely.
Day. You don't consider yourself anything more than a good old organic chemist.
Well, I don't. I might argue that point.
Everybody thinks of you as a good old polymer chemist.
Well, I would say that I have some different opinions of myself. As far as that is concerned, I am really not a first-class organic chemist. I am not the typical polymer chemist from the polymer physics end, which most mm-hmm. polymer chemists are actually physical chemists with an interest in, they do their work on polymers.
Yeah.
I'd rather consider myself as a probably an opportunist, able to get a few clues and jump to conclusions, and frequently they pan out. And I'd say that thing has sort of characterized my career as far as being a polymer chemist. I think I have an ability to recognize something that's valuable. worthwhile or has some applications before it's common knowledge. And I have a good working knowledge in organic chemistry, little understanding of engineering, little understanding of things mechanical, etc.
That's probably good background for the kinds of things you have done, or maybe it's good background for any industrial chemist.
Quite possible.
The idea of an opportunist is intriguing.
I think that I would classify myself as an opportunist.
Yeah.
That has happened very frequently throughout my career.
Can we pause for one moment here?